So continue looking at the scripture for this evening. Before we read the word of God, I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, for sincere and brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, and like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen. It's not often, as you realize, having lived in this world for a while, especially in our country, that you see a movie where Scripture is used, and especially if it's used, it's used correctly. But if you have seen or remember the 1982 film Chariots of Fire that won the Academy Awards for the Best Picture of the Year, the main character, Eric Liddell, who refused to run the 100-meter race for Great Britain in the 1924 Olympics, which he had trained for, but he refused to run it because it was scheduled to be on Sunday. Being a Christian, Eric would not run on the Sabbath, a day separated for the Lord. Facing enormous pressure from his own country, even from those in authority, both in the British Sports Association and even some of those in the Parliament and some of those in power, put pressure on him to run, but he chose not to. And instead, the time when his race was being run, that he was thought by all that he would win, he was spending that Sunday in a church preaching. Thankfully, Eric was allowed to run in both the 2 and 400-meter races. He hadn't trained for them, but there was a need for him to run, and he did. In the 400-meter, in the 200-meter race, he won a bronze medal. And then the next day in the 400-meter race, as Eric was standing at the starting block of the race, he was waiting to run. In the movie, Jackson Schultz, one of the runners from the United States, came up and handed him a piece of paper. Now, the truth was, it was actually the coach of the United States. Their track coach gave Eric a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper, it said, "Those who honor me, I will honor." And you might remember that Eric ran with that piece of paper in his hand and not only won the race, but broke the existing record with a time of 47.6 seconds. Eric was the first in his country at those Olympic Games of the 1924 Paris Olympics to win a gold medal. And in the Sports Hall of Fame for Scotland, Eric Liddell is the most popular athlete ever produced. This evening, as we continue in our study of 1 Samuel, you will see that very portion of a verse used. And you'll see, I trust that you'll see that it was used correctly. But we'll see the context for that verse. And as we look at the scripture tonight, you're going to see the truth of the whole verse. The whole verse is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, and it's at least the second part says this, "But now the Lord declares, far be it for me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." You see the contrast? If we honor the Lord, He will honor us. But if we lightly esteem or despise, we despise the Lord, we shall be lightly esteemed by Him. To honor means to consider weighty or important. If you believe that the Lord is important, that His word is important, then you will honor Him and obey Him. But if you despise Him or lightly esteem Him, then He shall lightly esteem you. That word to be lightly esteemed means I will curse or I will consider not important. And so as we come to the scripture tonight, you're going to see that contrast. The contrast I want you to look at as we read the scripture is in two ways. It's between two sets of priests. Samuel, who is just a young boy at this time, and Hophni and Phinehas, who are priests, the sons of Eli. And the contrast between honoring and lightly esteeming that you'll also see will be between two sets of parents. Hannah, the parent of Samuel, and Eli, the high priest, who is the parent, the father of Hophni and Phinehas. So we'll take a minute and pray and then read the Word of God. So let's stand together as we do that. Well, let us pray. Our Father, within our nation and even within our own hearts, we esteem many things. We esteem education. We esteem beauty. We esteem music. We esteem money. We esteem sports heroes, athletic prowess. We consider weighty or important many, many different things. And all of us have different hearts that would raise up and want and desire to consider those things important, weighty. And yet, O God, we confess that it's not just the world, but our own hearts that often lightly esteem You. And so we pray this evening that as You have given us real life people, real life families, that You would enable us tonight to look at our own hearts and our own families and draw us to Yourself. Thank You that Your word is rich. Thank You that Your word is living. Use Your Holy Spirit tonight to speak to each of us. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting in verse 12 and reading through verse 26. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. The custom of the priests was the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificed, "Give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." And if a man said to him, "Let them burn the fat first, and then take as much as you wish," he would say, "No, you must give it to me now. If not, I will take it by force." Thus, the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. His mother used to make him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked for the Lord." So they would return to their home. And indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. And the young man Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, how they lay with women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people." "No, my son, it is no good report that I hear of the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. Now the young man Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man. There came a man of God, Eli, and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I indeed reveal to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, subject to the house of Pharaoh? Did I choose him not out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar and to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? I gave to the house of your father all my offerings by fire from all the people of Israel. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded, and honor your sons above me by fattening yourself with the choicest parts of every offering of my people? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Then in distress you will look with the envious eye on all the prosperity that shall be bestowed on Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. The only one of you whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be spared to weep his eyes out, to grieve his heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die by the sword of men. And this shall come upon your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, shall be a sign to you, both of them shall die on the same day. And I will raise up to myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. And everyone who's left in your house shall come to implore him for a piece of silver or a loaf of bread, and shall say, please put me in one of the priest's places that I might eat a morsel of bread. Thus the word of the Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, instead of commenting on every verse because it's a long portion, we're going to make some comparisons here and bring the Word of God together. First thing we're going to look at and compare is those who are not honoring the Lord, Eli's worthless sons. God gives a description of these two priests, Hophni and Phinehas, who served God. They were to serve God at the temple, the tabernacle in Shiloh. 1 Samuel 2:12, it says, God gives a description of them who were priests. It says, now the sons of Israel were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And sadly, that can be true in churches today. And I trust even is in many. Men who are serving there for what they can get. What they can get from the offerings, even as Hophni and Phinehas chose to do that. They didn't know the Lord, and they did not honor him. And Hophni and Phinehas bore only worthless fruit. Now, when we read this, it might have seemed strange to you, but the priests were taken care of by the offerings of the people. They literally fed on what wasn't offered on the altar. So when they brought an animal, they especially offered the fat portions and some of the other portions, but the rest of the meat was boiled. And you see, when the priests were allowed to come and with a fork and take their portion out, it was the first potluck dinner. Did you get that when they were greeting it? You know, the guy's got his three-pronged fork, and you know, the rest of the offering that hadn't been burned with fire is there, and he sticks his fork out, and he hopes he, you know, comes out with a nice roast or something, right? But, you know, the poor guy gets the chicken neck or, you know, whatever it is, you know, he pulls that out and it's all he gets. But that was the way they took care of them, right? But Hophni and Phinehas said, none of that for us. No, 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 no. We want the ribeye steaks. When they bring that fatted calf, we want everything. We want to go in there, pick out our piece of meat, cut it off, and, you know, you can offer what's left instead of the best portions. You see, they were in it for what they could get. Not because they honored the Lord. They lightly esteemed the Lord. Then, as it went on, it says they not only did this, but they actually, when women would come either to worship or they're unsure of exactly what was going on because the women couldn't come into the tent of meeting, but they could come there to worship. Or as the worship in Israelite got worse and worse at sometimes, there was actually prostitutes who would hang out outside the place of worship and try to bring men aside there to do a little pre-worship with them first. And the priests were, whatever they were doing, were with those women there. And of course, how horrible and tragic is that, that they would do that? Those who were to lead others and honoring the Lord. And of course, sadly, we've heard of many pastors across our own nation and even in our own denomination who's had to leave the church because of some relationships they would have that were not untoward the Lord and right, but sinful. And so these men did not honor the Lord. And in fact, Eli, who was their father, sort of chastised them a little bit, but not much. He never disciplined them. He never said, sons, unless you stop this behavior, you're going to be disciplined. You're not going to be priests anymore, and you'll be cast away. But he chose only to just say, now, boys, I know this isn't really a good thing to do, but you really shouldn't be doing that. I'm getting bad reports. But apparently in the side, he was going, wink, 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 because it says that he was there taking part in the same food they were eating. He knew it should have been boiled, and he's getting T-bone steaks. Right? He knew that that shouldn't have been happening, but he said, well, not only might my boys not like me if I do this, but I'm not going to have a very good dinner either. And you see how easily our hearts can be turned by our desires in not honoring the Lord. And that's where we find our theme verse for this evening, the title, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me lightly shall be lightly esteemed. And because not only Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, but Eli refused to discipline them, he wasn't exactly in the same sins here they were, but because he wouldn't be involved in their lives to have them change and truly change, he was guilty also. He enjoyed the fruits of their sin too. And if you look at 1 Samuel 2, 31 to 34, look at the awful things that they happened because they didn't not only didn't honor the Lord, they lightly esteemed him and his offerings. And as it turns out, the end of Eli's whole line would end there. Behold, the days are coming, 1 Samuel 2, 31-34, when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so there will not be an old man in your house. Then in distress you will look with envious eye on all the prosperity that shall be bestowed in all Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. The only one of you whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be spared to weep his eyes, to grieve his heart out. And he's talking about Eli there. And all the descendants of your house shall die by the sword, and this shall come upon your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they shall be assigned to you both. Both of them shall die on the same day. And we'll find that later as we, Lord willing, are able to go through 1 Samuel when that the truth of this prophet from the man of God happens. But why did it happen? They didn't consider the Lord weighty. They loved their own desires more than what God desired. You see, the real problem was a heart problem. It was a desire problem. Do you see a problem as we read this? Can you think of a problem? Can you think of how you should consider God and His Word weighty and important and the most important thing, but when your own desires take over? I know what you want, God. I know what your offerings are like. I know what your commands are like. I know what you would want me to do, but I want to do this. And we rush in there and we say, I know what the Lord wants. I know this is the right offering, but give me the choice portion. Well, let me ask you, where do you do that? Where do you lightly despise in your life God's word? Where do you say, I know what you want, God, but I want this. And I am more important. You see, beloved, this isn't long ago far away. God has given this to you and me this very evening, that we would consider what we consider weighty, most weighty. Is it God's desires or our desires? And God says, those who will not honor me and put me first, I will lightly esteem. Well, thankfully, we have a contrast in Hannah, not her wicked son, not her worthless son, but her weaned son, Samuel. Hannah fulfilled her vow, we see in the scripture here. As we already saw last week, she brought her 4-year-old son, Samuel, after he had been weaned, because he was an answer to the Lord to her barrenness. He says, Lord, you give him to me and I'll give him back. I know that I'll love him. I know that I'll have him for 4 years, but he is yours. I will give him to you. And she gave her weaned son Samuel, and we'll see him tonight. We'll see God's work in his life tonight, even serving under wicked Eli. It'll be an amazing thing. But she brought her weaned son. Why did she do that? It's because, and she honored the Lord, it was because her soul was weaned. Psalm 31:2 says this, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. You see, a weaned child says, Mama, I don't have to eat all the time anymore. It's not instant demand on my feeding. Mom, when you're ready to give me what I need, it's okay. He honors his mother in his weanedness. And when we honor God, we're weaned with our desires. That we say, what you give me and when you give it to me is the right time. And we don't fight God. We honor Him and His authority in our lives. And whether it's the job He gives us, the house He gives us, the car He gives us, the child He gives us, whatever He gives us or not gives us, the blessings He gives us or the troubles He gives us, if you're a weaned child, you sit and honor your parent and know that what they have for you is good. And Hannah honors the Lord. Hannah honored the Lord and the Lord honored her. 1 Samuel 2:18 to 21, as she brought this child that she loved and only had for 4 years, but fulfilled her promise because God was important and weighty in her life. 1 Samuel 2:18, let's see how the Lord honors her. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. And his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah, his wife, and say, "May the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord." So they would return to their home, and indeed the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. You might, in reading this passage, almost miss it. But I'd like you all to take the time to make sure you open to 1 Samuel chapter 2 right now, verse 26. Because it describes God's amazing work with this little boy who worked under this wicked high priest Eli and was taught by him. But in 1 Samuel 2:26, it says this. It says, "Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man." Isn't that amazing? That God was able to work even though his teacher was Eli, you know, who had raised Hophni and Phinehas. But not only that, let me read this verse again, and I want you to think where else you've heard almost the exact same thing. 1 Samuel 2:26, "Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man." Who does that picture to you? Can you think about it? Remember Jesus? When he was 12 years old at the temple and his parents had left and he stayed with the priest? Let me read you Luke 2:52. Listen to this. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." You see, she had given her son back to the Lord, and he would picture even at that young age the Lord for us as God was working in this young child's life. Well, we have this comparison, don't we? Between honoring the Lord, considering His will and His word as weighty, that's what will drive us rather than our own desires. Thankfully, over the years, I've seen myself a few times act like Hannah. There's been those times where by God's grace, I just said, "God, what you want is right, and I'll do it." And there were times when I've paid a price for doing that, but was blessed in the end for it, in my character and in my trust of God. You know, with all these H's, it's kind of like Sunday school today with all the teachers, right? We've got Hannah and Hophni, right? But with Hophni and Phinehas, I find myself more like them. I find myself at times lightly esteeming the Lord. Now, I would never, of course, I'm your pastor, right? I'd never say, "You come up to me, "Pastor, do you ever lightly esteem the Lord?" "Oh, no, of course I wouldn't." You know, that's a way to fire me. But I do. My desires for the ribeye or whatever else is capturing my eye and stuff at the moment gets me, right? And I don't honor the Lord. I know what the Lord wants, but I say, well, I can get around it this way. It's really not that bad, is it? After all, we've got communion next week. Well, I don't usually go through all that in my brain, but the reality is I act just like Hophni and Phinehas at times. I don't on it. Why? What? Am I going to end up like Eli and his family? I want you to look at another verse in 1 Samuel 2 here, verse 25. Because Eli, as he's trying to discipline his sons, came up with a conundrum, a problem here. And the problem is that you and I face, as I hope you've seen yourself sometimes like Hannah. By God's grace, as he's working in your heart and you consider him important and you put his desires and will above your own and you rejoice in that and you're just thankful for the work of God's grace in your heart. But there are many a Sunday I come and I feel like, just call me Hophni. You know, I've lived that week trying to get my stuff done. And of course, I got enough done so he won't fire me. But I was looking a lot at my own stuff. So in 1 Samuel 2:25, it says, if someone sins against man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? Who can intercede for us when you treat God with contempt like Hophni and Phinehas and choose to follow your own will instead of God's will and his word? Who will intercede for you when you esteem God lightly, when you live to please yourself, filling your own sexual desires or any other desires instead of living to please Jesus? Or maybe like Eli, you have a child-centered home and you refuse to discipline your children because you're afraid they won't like you or afraid they won't care for you. The Old Testament is wonderfully good. And not only do we see the problem here, but we see the answer in 1 Samuel 2. Not only in this little boy who loves the Lord, who has been weaned and given to serve the Lord, and he's pictured by Christ with growing in favor with God and man. But look at verses 34. Excuse me. I have to make sure I've got them right. 35. 1 Samuel 2:35, I think it is. And it says, I will raise up, this is the answer of what we do, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according what's in my heart and mind, and I will build him a sure house that he will go in and out before my anointed forever. Now this faithful priest is, we're going to find out as we read the book of 1 Samuel and work through here, Lord willing, that Samuel really did have a heart for the Lord. He wasn't perfect, but compared to Eli, he was a faithful priest who honored the Lord. He was a priest and a judge, the last prophet of Israel during this time. I mean, not the last prophet, but the first prophet, I think. And it's just an amazing thing that happens here. It later talks about Zadok during the reign of Solomon, but finally, because you see what it says, verse 35, I'll raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what's in my heart and mind. Who was the only one who was faithful? Who was the only faithful priest that always did? And of course, it's a picture in the Old Testament here, even among these saints here who were struggling. A picture of Jesus who would do it always for us. Isn't that why we love Jesus? Because that's why we respond to follow him, because he loves us. He always did what was right. He loved the Father. And so that in Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12, we find this as Jesus came. But when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things to come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, tabernacle, not one made with hands, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of blood and goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing our eternal redemption. Our only hope, brothers and sisters, do I call you tonight by God's word to honor him and consider him worthy and weighty and important? Yes. But that will only be our desire ultimately, is because we know that we can't perfectly. But we do have a high priest who has, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I should end here, but I need to tell you, but wait, there's more. I want you to tell you not just about Eric Liddell as he honored God on the track in the 400-meter race. But I want to tell you about Eric Liddell and the rest of his life. At the peak of his athletic career, after he had won the gold medal, not run in the race that he was sure to run it for because he honored the Lord on the Sabbath, that wasn't all. He could have become the head of all of Britain's athletic society at that point. They would have loved him to take over. But instead, he went back to his home country where he was born in China, where he was raised on the mission field. And as he went back there, he worked as a missionary in China, but then during the World War II, as the Japanese invaded China and started killing the Chinese, he was put in an internment camp with others. And there in that internment camp, he kept preaching the gospel and also ministering to the needs tirelessly of those who were in the camp. And 5 months before all the prisoners released, Eric Liddell died of a brain tumor. There's much written from different people who were in that camp about Eric's service and care for them. But according to a fellow missionary, Eric's last words was, "It's complete surrender," in reference to how he had given his life to honor God. I pray that because of Jesus Christ, there'll be a rest of the story for each of us. It will grow also in considering God's word and will weighty, that we will follow indeed after our Savior. Let us pray. Our Father in God, sometimes it's hard to look at your word honestly because we get excited about Hannah and we thank you for such a good example. We rejoice that she had a weaned soul and would trust you, and you blessed her. You honored her because she honored you. But, oh God, sometimes I get terrified and I don't know what to do because I see so much of Hophni and Phineas and Eli in myself. But I thank you that there is indeed an offering for those of us who find ourselves failing between God and man, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we rejoice in his perfect honoring of you, so that we might now have that heart because of his work for us. Would you do that, O God? Would you remind us? And may we consider your will important because of your Son Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen.